Good afternoon to you. If you're now tuning in, now joining us, VOB 92.9 FM. And of course, the fireworks with the kind of compliments of West Indian Waterproofing and Rotoplastics Barbados Limited. I said, send any questions you may have for Minister John King, who will be joining us this afternoon on the program to get ahead of the rush that ultimately will come. I know people have questions for him. Someone here saying, I wonder what's the plan for NIFCA and other cultural festivals or activities, seeing we can't seem to get out of all these constant shutdowns. Interesting. The minister needs to convince me that they know what's going on. They all seem to be making it up as they go along. You know, to be fair, I think most people are making this up as they go along. This is unprecedented. But I'll leave that for the minister when he comes in. 434-1790, that's the number to call. Or you can WhatsApp 266-4862. Fireworks, good afternoon.
Hello, hi, good afternoon.
How are you doing, sir?
I'm not too bad. It's just something there that you said earlier. In anticipation of the minister.
Mm-hmm.
But who will be turning up, the minister or the entertainer?
I'm going to have Mr. John King on the other side there. And good. I guess depending on the question asked, the person will answer.
He would put on.
So I'm sure he'll walk with both hats because I have questions for both of them.
Good, but there's one thing though
that
you said that I pick an issue with.
Only one.
Only one today.
All right, go ahead.
Now, when you guys step out of line, I think I should pull one back. Right? Because as you read the police, you know.
Oh dear.
I am saying to you, you just said that you don't know. If I quote you wrong, please correct me. You don't know if people will be able to get in. You might not use that language, but I understand you to be saying that because of the amount of questions that you have for the minister, for John King.
That now, I have? No. In general.
Let me say this, Mr. Cashy. Fireworks never did about the presenter. Right? Always be about interaction, right? Always. That is what I understand fireworks to be. It's not brass down.
Or you said to stop you if you misquote you, if you misquoted me. So you are misquoting me. Indeed, I do have questions. As anyone in this position would have questions.
Good.
But I also said that you can send your questions because there will be a lot of people that have questions as well. I'm not monopolizing the questions.
You're this, sir, but this is what I want to reiterate.
All right, I heard you. It's not about me. You have a question for him?
No, people, I can talk to, I would like the opportunity to talk to John King when he comes.
Well,
but it's not about people texting in either. People want to have a one-to-one with John King. I will like the opportunity when he comes, okay?
Well, if you get through, sure, no problem.
Thanks.
Cool. Fireworks, good afternoon. The one phone call. All right, where are we? Right. Fireworks, good afternoon.
Peace be on to you and yours, Cashy.
Hey, how you doing?
I'm thankful. I thought the Honorable Minister was there already.
He is, he's a little bit down the road now. He has another engagement, but he promised that he'll be making his way up here for the second hour of the program.
All right. Anyhow, I sent you a message, so if you could get to my message when he gets there, you could read it out for us. I know if I be able to get through.
No problem. No problem.
All right. You have a good evening and stay safe.
All right,
everyone.
You too. All right. Bye-bye.
All right.
I got a request for one. Okay, no problem. Let's say good afternoon to Jennifer in New York. Fireworks, good afternoon.
Hello, good afternoon. I want to say good afternoon, a special good afternoon to my boy, a friend of many years, the Honorable Mr. John King.
All right, he ain't here in here yet, you know. Just saying, you know.
He ain't here yet.
No. He coming in.
But I had to see
him. Mm-hmm.
So, he has been a friend of mine for a number of years. Every time he see me, hi, hello. And there's a special, special something that I always remember of him. And as I know, it said to me that this incident happened just a short tour away from where his office is.
Mm.
There was a time my guy was walking on it, one of those tamarind trees, and somebody was say something to me. And I replied to the person, and just as I look around by the street light, there was a dog in there in his car standing by the street light, ready to move on and sitting down in his car smiling at me. So we was accustomed to say hi and hello. So we just laughed to see how he was there watching me, and I didn't see him, right? But as I now recall that incident, what to me now, that incident was just a short tour from Prime Minister's residence right there by the street, right there in office. I'm very proud of that man. I'm really, really very proud of him.
Mm-hmm.
And to see him in that position he is. Because he's a sure representative of the Colored Soil, so he will do his best. But then everything you can say yes, sir.
Mm.
You can't always say yes, but I'm sure he will do as much as he can to help this colored soil.
Mm.
Thanks for having me.
No problem.
You're welcome. I'm back.
Bye-bye.
Let's go.
And he'll be back in a studio. Don't know when was the last time he was in here. Definitely will be the first time with me. Will it be John King, the Calypsonian, the entertainer, the minister? I hope all come in.
Oh, come back, John. This is the cry of
Calypso. You'll be joining us later in the program.
Come back, John. I'm suffering.
Let's take you back to 1994.
While you cruise, I've been abused. Now in lyrical distress, please respond to my SOS. Look, must I depend on something to wave to get in my people's heart? No, I have to be saved from becoming a dying man. Hey, yes, man, I'm back with a brand new repertoire. A semi well never dry up like them reservoir. Ha! I'm back. My fans, I am set to please, but I am. I'm back. Just to get this idea spread. There's no donkey or no thoroughbred. I say the honor is just to have sung in the race for the Calypso crown. Yes, I'm back. Hitting harder than income tax. I'm back, I'm back, I'm back. Sang the Hebrew, but now the latest do is to get on lewd and crude. Huh. I say subtlety like I'm done, composition so weak. It seems they can work upon words of proper technique. Hey, yes,
not to beg for no ministry, not like the other Johnny. I'm back to tell Dave this in slavery. How you expect me to work for bus fare and lunch money? Tell me! I'm back, and I don't care who put me in court. I could get out of here without a passport. I say it's a shame and a damn disgrace the way the union fuck up the workers' case. I'm back in vicious lyrical attack. I'm back, I'm back, I'm back. So run for cover. Sherbourne, but never saw my power. They saw jam and wine in a spicy conga line. You know that I had to be wrong when I can make their theme song. But I know with your return, they'll see my Felisco. Hey! It's then I'll rise from the village. I'm back to tell Clinton and Aristide a military cleanup is what Haiti needs. I'm back thanking Japan for the loan we had, but when you ship plutonium to here, tell them that bad. I'm back just to ask the IADB where the hell the money you promised Sandy. Things hard, the treasury, but thank God for the sugar daddy. I'm back. I know a lot of people ain't go like that, but I'm back, I'm back, I'm back. Yes, man. Hey, look, man, I'm back. Yes, come on. Oh, come back, John. Dismiss them critics' claim. They say you don't like to lose, and you're too damn big for your shoes. But when I strive for the best, I refuse to settle for less. To leave might have been a mistake, depending on your point of view. Hey! But as you witness tonight, I'm back and starting anew. Yes! So let me go. I'm back. Not to bring fellow Kaiso men down, or to blame me dreadlocks if I don't win the ground. I'm back. Yes, it is true, Rita make me cry, but I know serenade cannot choke out my eye. I'm back. The laugh and said that simple affair, so they got to fight tonight to stop me from driving that car. Line them up, cause they're getting waxed for lax. Then they'll respect the fact I'm back and on the attack. I'm back. I know them seven ain't go like that, but I'm back, I'm back, I'm back. Let them run for cover. Yes, man. Barbados, I love you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Yes, man.
what it's up for. Listen, don't stand up there. Let the recipe will jump up and wave at you. Come
on.
Now 3 minutes to 4 o'clock. You just heard two from 1994. That's when he won his second crown, John King. Now it's time for you to win with us. It's the Fire One quiz, of course, brought to you with the kind compliments of Rental Kill Initial Barbados Limited, Initial Hygiene Barbados, the experts in hygiene, and Rental Kill Pest Control, the experts in pest control since 1964. I have a question for you. If you can answer it, you can be our lucky winner today, right after this.
You've known us for 60 years. We are the soap you trust for clean hands, the sanitizer that disinfects while you shop, the clean air you breathe at the office. We are Initial Hygiene, the experts in hygiene for business. Now we're bringing our expertise into homes with a range of innovative cleaning products that are powered by nature. For superior clean that's safe for your family and good for the environment, Initial Hygiene is your trusted hygiene partner for home and business, part of Rentokil Initial, protecting people, enhancing lives.
All right, here's your chance to win. You know that he won it twice. Officially, because I know some people can say unofficially, it was his maybe a couple other times too, but officially twice. I told you, 1994, that was the second time around. All you have to do is give me a call and tell me the year that he won his first crown, and you got to give me the two songs that he won with as well. So what's up for grabs? Let me tell you what's up for grabs this afternoon. Of course, prizes, compliments, Rental Kill Initial. Your packages may include the Ultra Protect Foam Hand Sanitizer, the new Odor Control Spray, new clean all-surface bathroom cleaner, new clean all-agro all-surface cleaner and degreaser. And as we were to be cleaner, as we, of course, work to ensure that we keep ourselves and our surroundings sanitized, these products definitely will come in handy. So, VOB, good afternoon.
Hi, good evening.
Yes, please. All right, you heard the question?
Is it Jump on Rear from Amba?
Man, that was 1994. Sorry. The question being asked, when he won his first crown, tell me the year and the two songs that he won with. VOB, good afternoon. Hello? All right, it's Fire One. You got one shot at this. VOB, good afternoon. VOB, good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Is it I Want a Plantation?
No, please. VOB, good afternoon.
Hello.
Yes, please.
Is it 1986? Tribute to the Skipper and congratulations.
All righty then. Well, congratulations to you. You're on point. You were there when he won it?
No.
No, or are you just a fan?
Or, just a fan.
Or your Google working well for you?
No, just a fan.
All right, well, congratulations. You are indeed our winner. Hold the line. I'll take your information so we can get this package in your hand, okay?
Okay. Thank you.
You're very, very welcome. Of course, Fire One, we do this 3 times a week, Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays, where you can win compliments or friends at Rental Kill Initial, Barbados Limited. You can call them at 429-3546. Visit initialcaribbean.com and follow them on Facebook at Rental Kill Initial, Barbados.
You've known us for 60 years. We are the soap you trust for clean hands, the sanitizer that disinfects while you shop, the clean air you breathe at the office. We are Initial Hygiene, the experts in hygiene for business. Now we're bringing our expertise into homes with a range of innovative cleaning products that are powered by nature. For superior clean that's safe for your family and good for the environment, Initial Hygiene is your trusted hygiene partner for home and business, part of Rental Kill Initial, protecting people, enhancing lives.
The Voice of Barbados.
My Daily Bread is brought to you with the kind compliments of Purity Bakeries. Baked fresh daily. Cassava is an excellent source of fiber. A high fiber diet helps control cholesterol and blood sugar levels and aids in achieving a healthy weight. So pick up your Purity cassava loaf today at leading supermarkets islandwide. Have your healthy bread and eat it too.
Hi, I'm Mikey Mercer, entertainer, powerlifter, martial artist, and fitness enthusiast. It's true when they say you are what you eat. That's why we need to eat healthy. So to help, Purity Bakeries has introduced their delicious, special high fiber, zero trans fat cassava loaf made with the finest Bajan cassava. So now, when you're looking for that slice that's tasty, healthy, and nice, look no further than Purity Bakery's special cassava loaf, where you can have your healthy bread and eat it too. Available for a limited time only and baked healthier by Purity.
My Daily Bread was brought to you with the kind compliments of Purity Bakeries, baked fresh daily.
In today's fast-paced world, there's so much to get done, yet so little time to do it. But taking care of your business with Sagicor can now be done without ever getting in line. Introducing eConnect, Sagicor's new online customer service hub. Whether it's investments, home ownership, insurance, or even retirement, you can book an appointment online to speak with a Sagicor customer care rep and enjoy safe, contactless service from just about anywhere. Book now at sagicor.com/eConnect.
Hot Summer Burn is back! We've partnered with Beige Fit to take you and your family on a journey to wellness. And this year we are powered by D-Music, the Caribbean's sickest music app. All COVID-19 protocols will be strictly enforced at the Burn Sessions, which continue on Sundays, July 18th and 25th, with the finale on August 1st, where the Garfield Sobers Gymnasium. Start time each week is 4 p.m. All Burn Sessions are free, but attendees must register to participate. Register online at HOTT953.com or the Hot Facebook page, or visit Starcom Network on River Road or Nation House Fontenelle. Registration also available between 3 and 4 p.m. on the day of the burn. Lots of prizes and surprises to be won, including King and Queen of the Burn winning $500 each, plus other great prizes. Remember, all COVID-19 protocols will be strictly enforced. Hot Summer Burn and Beige Fit, powered by D-Music, the Caribbean's sickest music app. Also sponsored by Avelina, 7C's Perfect 7 Multivitamins, Peak Sports Caribbean, Jamaica Blue Alkaline Water, Deanna Dash's Toy Shop, Rental Kill Initial, Degree Deodorant, and Vita, Wheat Crisps, KFC, Lipton, Ginseng Up, and Hot 95.3 FM.
Sporting Triumph.
This is my first medal, first big top competition, the second time at World Championships, and very, very proud.
Join us on Saturday mornings from 7:50 on Voice of Barbados for Sporting Triumph in association with Triumph Barbados Limited, your number one choice.
Win 400 in 40 seconds. $400. VOB's 40th anniversary in 2021. Be the first to answer four questions correctly in 40 seconds on the last Friday in every month of this year. Listen during the month for clues and stand by for the 40 seconds quiz in the morning of the last Friday in the month. No winner this morning? Then the 40 seconds quiz will be back in the afternoon. No winner for the day? Then the prize money rolls over to the next month. Listen to VOB and be a winner for $100. January to December, VOB 92.9 FM, celebrating 40 years in 2021.
Brought to you by Jergens, distributed by Massey Distribution, Ross Health and Beauty, Gap, the new road to good health. Call 237-0456 or 622-1830. And Cave Shepherd Card Services.
Fighting crime, discussing solutions to crime and violence. That's right, we're talking solutions. Be a part of the discussion on Hot 95.3 FM and VOB 92.9 FM. It's a six-week series. We're going beyond the surface. Real talk, and we're involving young people interested in hearing views that could make a difference. So get ready to call and send your WhatsApps and be a part of the conversation. Real thing, let me talk. Let's talk about crime. Solutions, though, we don't want to do no more time. This thing only mashing up society and families, too. So let me be a part of the solution. Real talk, your host is me, DJ Scott LaRock, with a number of co-hosts and special guests for the series. 6:30 p.m. to 7:30 p.m. Wednesdays only, July 21st to August 26th, 2021. Live on VOB 92.9 FM and Hot 95.3 FM. Fighting crime, discussing solutions to crime and violence. Make sure you check it.
The boys on Barbados.
Well, it's now 7 minutes after 4 o'clock. Fireworks 2021, of course. Fireworks brought to you with the kind compliments of West Indian Waterproofing. Remember, waterproofing means us. Give us a call today, 271-4933. And Rotoplastics Barbados Limited, manufacturers of the Tough Tank Water Storage Tank and your tank installation and maintenance specialists. Also distributors of the Pentax Water Pump. And I've been trying to get this gentleman for quite some time, but understandably, he's been very busy. I don't know what will happen if we actually had a crop over. I might have to book him maybe months in advance or something. But I must say good afternoon and welcome to Fireworks, the minister in the Prime Minister's office with responsibility for culture, the Honorable John King. How are you doing, sir?
I'm fine. Thank you very much. And I'm glad to be here, finally, to make it.
Finally, indeed, man. You know,
hard.
You know, someone asked a little earlier, you know, am I having John King the artist or am I having John King the politician? I say, well, it depends on the question asked, because I think both of them, either of them, you know, would be a good guess.
Well, you know, I like to look at it this way. You're having John King. Because at the end of the day, right, I'm not just a minister or a politician or a Calypsonian. I'm a father. I'm a son. I'm a work colleague, I'm a friend. So I always try to tell people, you know, stop trying to define you, not only me, but yourselves by what you do or the things that you're involved in. Mm-hmm. Because those things can change, and they can change quite rapidly as life goes on. But you have a person in front of you. It's not just a number or, you know, a title. It's a person. And so I prefer them to deal with me, the spirit.
Well, to be fair, the person I have in front of me is a rather influential person and a person that a lot of people have some questions for. Mm-hmm. You know, so I'll get down to it. You know, and if anyone wants to call, I know they're already calling and asking the questions. But what I want to know with regards to, you know, your post in the ministry, you know, how are things going for you at this juncture? You know, there are so many things, of course, with the entertainers, you know, with the band leaders, with the promoters, you know, mm-hmm. there's a lot going on. Everyone's having discussions and questions. Mm-hmm. Where are you at right now? And are you satisfied where you are at this juncture?
Well, I'm never a person who's ever satisfied. So let me put that out there earlier, Claude. I'm never satisfied because I always think that you can do more, or you can do better, or you can accomplish more. depending on what it is that you want to do. So let's just look at 2018, what you would have come in with, lots of expectations, and you would have been all geared up to deliver certain things over a period of time. You have the best laid plans, but your best laid plans do not take into consideration a lot of the anomalies that we would have had, which would put, as they would say, that proverbial spork in the wheels, so to speak. But you have to be agile. You have to be able to change. You have to be able to think on your feet, outside of the box, and how do you do other things? So that's where we are right now, constantly being challenged by various situations that have arisen, and you have to be prepared then for the things that are to come. So I live my life by a mantra is to expect the unexpected. And so once you have that kind of a mindset, then in terms of grading where you are, it's going to be all right all the time, because you've put yourself in a frame of mind that whatever it is, that you will be able to rise to the occasion to deal with it as best as you can. So there are a lot of expectations, having been in the arts myself. So a lot of my colleagues then will have higher expectations from me than they would have for anyone else sitting in this seat. The difficulty with that is that I am not the sole power. you know, so I'm not the sole power that you can say, oh, hey, you know, minister, we need X, Y, Z. And I can just pull out a magic wand and say, abracadabra, it shall be done, or it is done. And that's it. You know, because I keep hearing a lot of my colleagues saying, but he was an artist and now he behaving like a politician. And I keep saying, but this absolutely makes no sense. Because if I was a priest, what would I have to act like? I have to take all the things of being a priest into consideration, and you have to perform that role as that role. When I'm the artist, I have to perform the role of the artist. As if I'm on stage, I'm not the politician. If I'm in the office, I'm not the artist. So you have to be able to understand the differences between the various roles that we play. Even in your own life, when you're the father, you're the father. When you're the friend, you're the friend. When you're the work colleague, you're the work colleague. So you have a different way of dealing with different things.
But saying that there, though, because you know, you say you mentioned you get your colleagues approaching you. Do you feel extra pressure to then focus on issues that are more affecting them?
Not really, because you have to be able to balance out everything. So I often hear people say, oh man, he's only concentrated on Calypsonians or the whatever, which is totally wrong. people engaged differently, and rather than just listening to talk or even picking up your phone and calling me and talking to me themselves. So to understand, we got from the dancers to the theater artists to the visual artists to the culinary arts. It just goes on and on. The people in innovation and all the other things. We have been doing lots of stuff with the best resources that we have to ensure that we balance what we do and that we equally attend to the needs as they present themselves. COVID-19, though, you mentioned the promoters and others like that earlier, is a reality that none of us can ignore. I know in other parts of the world, people ignore them and do all sorts of things. But Barbados is too small and too, how should I say this, a volatile of a situation for you to ignore. You know what I mean? And I find it a little difficult sometimes when I listen to some of the conversations, or when I even have to go online and read some of the comments as to, you know, what is it that we're seeing? You know, I had to try to get some people that I'm having some conversations with to understand that COVID-19 is not a joke. And though, yes, I know how difficult it would be for persons to do events, I know, I've been there, I've been in it, so I know. But at the same time, you're talking about the well-being and the health of an entire country. And as you can see, we're still, the health officials right now are battling with the spikes again. So what is it that we have to do as being our brother's keeper, as being a good citizen, as being as caring as humanly possible for each other's well-being? We have to be able to follow the science. We have to be able to follow the good, let me say, directives of the experts, which would, in this case, would be the Ministry of Health and the medical practitioners and stuff. And we have to be able to see how do we lift each other, how do we support each other through this very trying time. And for me, that is not just about being a politician. This is more about being a citizen of a country that we claim that we love so much. And so you have to be able to, at some point in time, realize that even though, yes, you might have your difficulties with whatever it is, there's a bigger picture and a lot more at stake. And so you have to find ways to work within the parameters that are given to you by the experts with this COVID-19.
You represent the arts and culture. And that's a big umbrella. You know, a lot of people that you're representing. Mm-hmm. And as you said, yes, you have to follow the science and you listen. But when you're having these discussions, what do you present to them? Because obviously health is presenting their part, tourism presenting their part, you know, and you're representing these people that are saying, mm-hmm. okay, as you mentioned, they are crying out. They haven't worked, some of them, in 18 months and such. Everyone's presenting their ideas. Mm-hmm. Are you rallying for them and say, okay, well, yes, CMO, I'm hearing you. Yes, Lieutenant Boston, I'm hearing you. What
from day one, mm-hmm. Between the ministry and our executing body, the NCF, we've been meeting constantly with health officials, trying to get the best possible information on, in terms of numbers, if you were to do events, how do we do the events from day one. And so the last round of discussions that we had led to us having then the joint meeting with the band leaders and promoters of it, and then having the opportunity to query and to talk to health, and they came up with a plan for a gradual reopening, and they have the numbers, they have all of the information. I'm hearing that some people still find it difficult to operate with those numbers, and with also some of the other suggestions that were put out there. And rather than trying to do a one-off event, do you do multiple events, given the numbers, so that some people are just saying it's impossible for them to do that. Now, for me, if you've done all that you can to try to assist, there comes a point when there is really nothing else that you can do, because again, with COVID-19, none of us can predict what is going to happen in the future. So your best bet is to try your best to work within the parameters and see what you can do and keep yourself in the marketplace, so that by the time things open back up again, you would still be relevant in my mind to the public. Because once things open back up, if people have been, you know, locked down for a while, not being able to go out and socialize, they're going to come out in numbers. Mm-hmm. But for me, I think this is a period where you try to consolidate, and if you do events, you do it within the parameters and keep yourself in the marketplace. Now, some people say that's it's not what they want to do. It's impossible for them. Then there's really nothing else that we can do from our end. We will try to support as much as we can in terms of being able to lend both financial assistance and in some other cases, other types of assistance that can help them to help themselves. But after that, the decisions are really going to be up to the individuals as to can you do this or can you not? Mm-hmm. And to me, it doesn't make sense just complaining. We've got to be able to look at what is in front of us and make a judgment as to, you know what, this is a situation that none of us have any control over. This is beyond human control, so to speak. But what we can control are the things that we can control. Then we work within those parameters.
All right, let's talk about what can be done, because you know, you mentioned not everyone can. When we heard some of the larger promoters saying, well, you know what, well, let's just give this a pass because we can't do anything now. But for those that say, okay, fine, we can try to do something with the 150, and you mentioned about lending assistance. I know there's talk of that there. So what kind of assistance is being given to those that are hosting events?
All right, so in those meetings, it was established and agreed upon that financial assistance would be given to band leaders and promoters in a breakdown of depending on where you were. So you're looking at band leaders and stuff who would have been bringing bands for 2019 but couldn't because of the shutdown and whatever else. You had caps on the monies to be spent on these things. You're getting support in terms of staging and lighting and all these other things that you're going to do. But like I mentioned earlier, you're also getting monies to help you. So I don't want to go into exact figures because
I'm sure the figures pass your desk.
I know the figures. I know the figures, but. I don't think that is a conversation that I believe if the promoters and all the other persons out there want to discuss that, I think that's for me personally, it's best for them to discuss it. But from my end, it was an agreement that was made in a room between think parties, and I think that anytime that information comes out, I would prefer it to come out in a form. If it says that this is what we've agreed on, this is what's going to be happening in that type of form, rather than in a setting like this, because oftentimes people can take the words that you say, twist them, misconstrue them, and come up with all sorts of things. Oh, but the minister said this. But in truth and in fact, that's not necessarily what he had. And I've learned pretty quickly over the last 3 years how simple things can become totally ridiculous based on who wants to do what. But the point is that there is assistance that is being done and agreed upon, and it really is for people then to get out there and do what they do best in terms of being able to.
How was it decided who receives assistance?
Okay, so basically you look at track records of persons. You look at persons who would have applied, who are going to be involved in particular events and things, who the players are. We talk with the association, so the membership of the associations are, you know, your first target audience, so to speak.
So because they have the associations, you mean the event promoters and backer and all the likes.
All of the different entities, you know, and basically that's where you start your conversations. Now, as let me put this way. It is always important, and it's something that within the cultural industries and creative industries in particular, I've been from day one trying to encourage people as much as I can to register with the National Cultural Foundation as cultural practitioners. There's a reason for that. If a government or banks or any other entities have to discuss anything with other entities, be it tourism or whatever, they have their organizations that represent them as a whole. You don't have just individuals coming at you. You did deal with that. If it is the accountant association, accountants, so they have their things, architects. We must begin to see ourselves as, and I said we, But they must begin to see themselves as formal business people and operate within that setting. The informality itself creates problems. And these are things that I believe that at this juncture, especially this gives us a wonderful opportunity to correct that particular problem. And so that people then, even the general public, gets the opportunity to understand not only the challenges that the cultural practitioners and the creative persons have, but they begin to understand that this is legitimate business, just like any of the other businesses that you have in Bridgetown or anywhere across the island. And so it's important that that formality, getting yourself aligned with like small business association, putting yourself in a position where you can access funds from places like Fund Access and Growth Enterprise Growth Fund and all these other things that are there from government, or even to get grants from us at the National Cultural Foundation, so that we begin, when we have these types of conversations and we have any problems that arrive, that it is in a more formal setting that you get the backing of a body, you know, a representative group and things like that. So I see this as, although it's tumultuous at this time, but I see it as being what is necessary for us going forward, 2022, 2023 and beyond. Mm. So this period is that period of shakeup, so to speak.
You know, you had many meetings and you mentioned, you know, everyone coming to the table. I know there are several different groups. I just mentioned a couple of them. Do you think that there is a need in the entertainment sector to be then perhaps one body, one representative body?
I can't say that I think that there should be, because you're operating in a democracy, and by the very nature of democracy, it means that one must be able to have more views, more of whatever it is that you're operating in. What I would like to see is more cohesion in terms of the different bodies being able to work together for a common goal. And that common goal in my mind would be the betterment of the creative and cultural industries.
You're not saying that right now?
I don't see it, because you have to deal with Killip's, well, let's say band leaders is band leaders, and dancers is dancers. You know, everybody's still splintered, and there's nothing wrong with having the different groups. But I still feel that an overarching, you know, group who can help even in getting you to set policy. Because who better to help inform policy than the creatives and the practitioners themselves, you know? So for me it's a wish. It's probably a big wish, but I believe it is possible, because out of what has been happening, although some people are agitated or whatever, I'm beginning to see more of a coming together of various parts.
If you're not joining us, a fireworks brought to you with the kind compliments of West Indian Waterproofing and Rotoplastics Barbados Limited, having a conversation with Minister John King. And before I take the questions and the calls, you know, UNCTAD, you know, and the Jinger, you know, if you can't get a Barbados, we'll bring Barbados to you. I want you to talk about the efforts to really help to push our culture beyond Barbados. And I know, obviously, everything's taken a hit with COVID, but, you know, I know that that's one of the things that you really want to do.
Well, prior to COVID-19, you know, for the very first time that I can think about, we had a group of spoken word artists. We supported them going to South Africa for a festival there. We've been involved in film. We played an active role in helping the movie Joseph as much as we could. We've been Carnival as usual. We've had people that go down to Carnival in Trinidad. Next month, I'm going off to St. Croix with some visual artists, supporting this, you know. So there are so many things that we have, even through the National Cultural Foundation, which, as I mentioned earlier, is our executing arm of the Division of Culture. They've been doing a lot of work with entrepreneurs in terms of fashion in Colombia, different places. We've been supporting people financially with grants to help them to do lots of things. We've been connecting people. You know, we were in the forefront of the movement of doing business with Ghana, and even now we have COSCAP, although we don't play a direct role in that, so to speak, but COSCAP is now being able to help Ghanaian artists to understand copyright, and so we've got those links going. So there's lots of opportunities that have been created in the last 3 years between Ministry of Foreign Affairs, the Ministry of Culture, the NCF. You know, it's just a lot of stuff that has been going on. One of the things that is hard to do is to get the persons themselves who benefit from these things to spread the word and to speak about it themselves. You know, because we come out of a society that says, you know, you don't let your left hand know what your right hand doing, and you don't blow your own trumpets and whatever thing. But in the position that I hold, if I come on air and I'm talking about all the things that people would just see it as just some political rhetoric, you know, you're trying to
get votes,
basically, you know. But because I'm so passionate about the things that we've done, I think it is important sometimes that it comes more from the persons who have benefited from its mouth. It carries a lot more value, because like I said earlier, people would see me as just pontificating as a minister.
But you know what? It's interesting you said that, because I actually started to write this question as you were saying that. Do you think you are reaching the people that you want to reach in terms of the cultural practitioners? I say that there because I was at that meeting at the gymnasium last year.
Correct.
And there were so many people that didn't know how to access certain things. They didn't know what was available. And then there were also comments that the way it was presented, you're presenting something to creatives, but it's being presented like we in Parliament, you know. That's something that I heard from many of them. I'm pretty sure you heard the same thing as well.
Of course, and one of the problems that we have as people in the creative sector is that we've allowed Hollywood and other people to define how we think or define how we access or process things. It's and if you buy into it, you would always find yourselves at the bottom of the ladder, based on where people want to place you. And this is something that I always guard creative and artistic people about. You are no different to anybody else in the world. So why is it that other people can sit down in any type of a meeting and listen to a presentation and process it and make a judgment as to how to do things? Why is it that whenever we start talking about creatives, that we cut off all the other things? It falls back into that mindset that if you are a creative person, then you can't academically think. It doesn't make sense, but it is something that has been out there for so long. You know, there's an old saying, the old people say, if you tell a lie long enough, it becomes the truth. And then people begin to buy into it. You know, there was nothing about that meeting that was like a presentation in any parliament or anything like that. It was giving people, one, access to information that obviously was not getting out to them before. So for every person who probably said, okay, this was like something in parliament, I didn't understand anything about it. But you also got the information of who are the persons who you can follow up with. And what are the agencies that you need to get in contact with in order to help you through the processes of the application, or to help you to understand, okay, maybe you might think that you need $20,000 to do XYZ, but there's a business development officer there who can show you that you really don't need $20,000 to do XYZ, because with the advent of social media and other things, there are different ways to do advertising and all the other things that might be a lot cheaper. So it is really about being able to come into a setting, make use of the information that is shared with you, and then follow up if there are any problems or any things that you didn't understand at that particular time. Because in the setting, as you were there, you could see there's no way that you can have individual attention at it. It's really about just getting the information to people. And I must say to you that from that session, we have seen an influx of persons actually making use of that information like never before. You know, even this morning when I got into the office, the first thing I had to do is to sign off on applications to be cultural practitioners again. On Monday, I did the same thing. So they're coming in bulks, in droves, rapidly, and that's a good thing.
Yeah, I got my certificate.
Exactly. It's a good thing because people are now, like I was saying earlier, beginning to formalize what they're doing a little bit more. So it gives them access to funding. It gives them access to technical assistance. It gives them access to information, which is, as people always say, knowledge is power. So these are the things that we're trying to get people to understand how to do that. And so that exercise for me was very successful in that it met all the expectations that we had of it. Getting people to know who the people in the ministry of, well, at the time, in the division of culture are, the persons who they need to interact with, and also at the National Cultural Foundation.
What's your main focus now in the ministry?
The main focus for us is where the cultural and creative industries is concerned, is to really now to rally the various sectors within it, to get some information from them, and to see how we can improve on policy, to see how we can engage with the wider business communities, to see how support can be given not only through government, but from investment from persons who have the wherewithal to do that, to see this as viable business, and to also to open them up to new markets. So you would see that we've been having some discussions with BIDC, other entities, and looking at various markets. A lot of talk has been going on around Ghana and the African continent in terms of us being able to get our creatives to go into that space. And we've been successful in being able to get a few persons going there. So we got people from things like from renewable energy to you name it, manufacturing to all sorts of things that would still fall into the creative economy. And I'm very proud that we've been able to do those things in a very short space of time. And I don't think people fully grasp or appreciate that this is just over three years. That we've been in, and we've got this influx of persons who have actually benefited from the work that's being done at the NCF through the Division of Culture.
Alrighty. All right, it's now 5:07. I have a lady that was holding on for quite some time.
Oh dear.
So I'm going to give her the floor, and of course, any of the listeners out there as well. I just had to make sure that I get in my few first. So let's go to the phone lines. Fireworks, good afternoon.
Peace be unto you again.
Yes, please.
And to Mr. PM John King. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, ma'am.
PM, jeez. This is a big announcement I didn't hear. What's going on here?
Sorry, Mr. Minister. I'm so excited.
Thank you, ma'am.
Okay, John.
Yes, ma'am.
First, let me congratulate you.
Thank you so very much.
On your winning.
Thank you.
And in Parliament.
Thank you.
And a minister, and I pray God continue blessings be upon you, His guidance and protection, and I pray grant you wisdom. And I see, as far as I am seeing, you are doing a good job. And yeah. I pray that you will continue to help, you know, our artists in this country.
Thank you, ma'am.
I watch everything you're doing. You know, I used to follow you from Jackna.
I know.
Right. And then, after then, you remember BS and T.
Yeah, of course.
Where I would confuse you every month saying for our ticket. You know, we go from minister.
Yes.
To all fat days.
You know.
So, John, I am so proud of you.
Thank you so very much.
God bless you. But I got somebody that can run up there or maybe next Sunday you soon for now too, you know.
Okay.
One. A good boy, a good Calixonian from up there too.
Okay, okay.
I see him as an MP also. Well, anyhow, all the best to you, John.
Thank you so very much.
Stay safe and continue to keep the good works up and help everyone. I know you're a good person.
I try.
I know you would try to help everyone that you can. And I hope that when you finish that, you would have a good report.
Yes, ma'am.
So God bless you.
Thank you.
God bless Barbados and everyone, Troy, and stay safe.
Of course.
Pleasure speaking to you, my boy.
All right.
I want a plantation. That is where you should come to your plantation to get
the ticket. Of course. You be good. Have a good one, love. Good.
All right. I could tell. Listen, you want back to run about it.
Oh, Lord.
Fireworks, good afternoon.
Hello. Hi. Good afternoon to you.
Good afternoon, sir.
Hi. How are you doing?
I'm well. And yourself?
I'm good, man. I'm good. I'm
awesome.
Good. I'm good. Look, yes, you know that you was a presenter also, you and Caroline Ford, it is?
Yes.
Dasa.
That's right.
Of fireworks.
Yes, many moons ago.
many moons ago. Right. Nighttime show.
Nighttime show. It's true.
Good. Look, I did anticipate in your arrival, and I reserve my comments for you.
Yes, sir.
Now, sir, I and Kashi, I just happen to be mentioning CBC because it's leading to where I want to go with my discussion with the minister. Of late, Mr. Minister,
mm-hmm.
Wait, John Turner, the minister, Or the
artist. Listen, I am here as the minister responsible for culture.
Culture, in the Prime Minister's office. Minister. Okay, good. I can live with that. That's all right. Now, look, of late, we see a different programming at Channel 8,
mm-hmm.
our own thing. Huh?
Mm-hmm.
And we're seeing people know that look like we're seeing shows from way back. And I'm really appreciative of that. However, where is, since the National Cultural Foundation
mm-hmm.
fall under your umbrella,
right?
And National Cultural Foundation have its own archives,
mm-hmm.
and CBC have their archives as old as Barbados.
Mm-hmm.
I want to know now from you, Mr. Minister,
mm-hmm.
what would it take for Cultural Foundation and CBC to come together as one in the archival department to present what we've been waiting for or to enhance it.
Hold on, Wesley, right?
Uh-huh.
Because I see what you're trying to get, right? But seeing that you called on by River, right?
Uh-huh.
I have the man say, I would say, because...
I thought TV, though.
But hold on, but we ain't got a TV station. So, you know,
so
we could talk about having it on radio. You know, I'm not presenting programming ideas for Upbeat Road.
I agree, Kashi, in all fairness to you,
yeah.
I agree.
All right,
but
cool.
You know something?
Listen,
Starcom,
mm-hmm.
VOB, mm-hmm. got that department covered.
Man, we
really in lack for Bayesian entertainment from Starcom, you know.
But again, then you need to call Sanka, you know?
No, I need to talk to the minister, buddy.
But we ain't talking about up there issues for down here. If you say that, we got that covered.
I'm talking about an umbrella.
I am not dealing with programming issues for up the road, all right?
Could I go on?
All right.
Could I continue my discussion with the minister?
Continue, sir.
Good. Now, looking at this, you just knocked me off my peg, man. And because Kashi, you see the forest, but you only seeing trees, right?
I see one forest, big tree in front of me right now.
Right.
If I may, though, Wesley, I'm trying to understand where you're coming from. You want to see more of a collaboration between CBC and the NCF in terms of bringing content? That's where you were going?
That's what I'm saying. And don't only project the NCF as a festival committee.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
I think, and with all due respect to you, I think that you need to spend some time, take a look at CBC of late. There's been a lot of stuff.
That,
right. There's a lot of stuff coming.
CBC.
There's a lot of stuff that is coming out. But I think, again, and as Cassie said quite rightly, we're not advertising their competitors or anything like that. But that is part and parcel of a effort by the Division of Culture to use the resources available to us to show Barbadians to themselves, to get our people to feel a little bit more confident about the artistic community, be it drama, be it spoken word, be it music, be it culinary arts, whatever else. And those are the things that we will want to encourage all radio stations and all television stations to do, because at the end of the day, it is important that the influence of the arts is an influence from ourselves to ourselves and for ourselves to develop that national identity that you keep hearing people talking about. Because one of the things that I am very concerned about is Gabby spoke about it many years ago in his song, Culture. Cultural penetration. And that has been the bane of our existence for many, 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 many years. And I think a part of that process is using all of the mediums that are available to you, television, radio, literature, social media, whatever else. Now, is all of it going to be top-notch excellence or whatever? It probably won't. But everything has a beginning, and there's always a developmental curve that you have to go through. And if our people like to compare, so we like to look at things that come out of the United States or whatever, and then measure Barbadian things by that. The problem with that is that you're talking about eras in terms of, one, we didn't see the American developmental stage. Well, we see where they are at now, but we can't trace or track the developmental stage of film or whatever, even though they have documentaries and all of these things. But we can do that for ourselves. And I think you're beginning to see that a lot more. Even with CBC, I mean, with here at Starcom, I am so impressed. And I have to say this so the general public can hear. Your day in history sessions. And I think more people need to seriously pay attention to those things, because I myself am learning so much about Barbados and about events that took place. And it gives me a much better idea of how this country has been formed. You know, so those are the things that we want to encourage.
You know, and that brings me down to documenting as well. Because, you know, we have a situation where we don't document things well. And things that have been documented perhaps are not accessible. So is your ministry, you know, are you working towards making things more accessible?
Yes, definitely. One of the things that we've been encouraging, even with the COVID-19 grants, when filmmakers were coming for them, and any of them who are out there listening can back me up on this, that I've always been from day one telling people, yes, feature films and these things are good, but we need our people to do more documentaries, because those are the things of interest that future generations have of facts. They understand life as it would have been at a time, the challenges that we would have faced, how we overcame things, where we are and why we are, who we are, how we got here. All of those things documentaries do for us. And so it's important for future generations and for us now that our camera persons, our filmmakers out there begin to zero in and create these documentaries. And I'm happy to say that I've had the privilege of viewing some of them that are being done, and they've been fantastic. Through the National Cultural Foundation, a number of them were presented, and you can see them on YouTube, and they've just been fantastic. You know, and it really blows my mind that with less technology than the more advanced countries, the kind of quality things that our people are coming up with. And it just speaks to the ingenuity of Barbadians on the whole.
Mm-hmm. Now, you know, we are now coming on to the end of July, you know, what normally would have been crop mm-hmm. over, mm-hmm. you know. And we're now going on towards the end of the year where we'll be approaching what would have been
Grand Cadument and the end of it.
Yeah. You know, and all that. As we look forward, you can't tell what's going to happen, but NIFCA, you know, other festivals that may have been planned, or are they still being planned, or are you looking at a variation of it?
We're definitely looking at variations of them. If you would have heard, you probably would have heard myself, you would have heard from Prime Minister, that we just couldn't do anything and call it crop over, because the brand is so strong, and also it also opens up a proverbial can of worms. So that if you said, "But this is crop over," then people have the opportunity, oh no, this is not crop over, because there's no party monarch, there's no calypso contest, there's no bands on the road, there's this. So what you're trying to do is to fill the gaps with events and encourage others to do things that, again, stay within common sense, stay with it, stay within, you know, the protocols and all of the other things, so that at least there is some sort of activity. And science has shown that in times like these, where people are going through, and I use the word trauma, because COVID-19 and the freak storm and hurricane, all of these things are traumatic on mm-hmm. people. And, you know, I'm going to say this, and some people might get vexed, but I know it to be true. Our people have, for many, many years, had a sort of shyness or I don't even know what the word I would use. But they try to shy away from talking about mental health issues. You know, they feel like if somebody admits, you know, I had a nervous breakdown or whatever, that person is weak, or that person somehow has failed. Now, I have my own views on it. I believe, obviously, if you come through trauma of slavery and you come through a trauma of colonialism and you're taught certain things about yourself, then you have to build a kind of a resistance to the brainwashing and all the other things that would go on. But at some point in time, you also have to be able to recognize that your mental health, your mental well-being is just as worth dealing with as your physical health. So the same way that you need to go in the gym and keep the body healthy, I think you need to do things that keeps the mind also healthy also. So, you know, reading and positive affirmations and meditation and just being able to talk to somebody if you have problems and not internalize all of that. Those things are also important. The arts play a fantastic role in being therapeutic for people. And so you will find that I will always be in the forefront of saying we must have some sort of activities out there that give people the chance to relax. And you will see that lately, in collaboration with CBC, we've been doing a series of concerts at the Daphne Joseph Hackett Theatre. Giving, yes, the artists who have not worked anything for a long time an opportunity to get an income, but also putting something out there that the general public can enjoy and can relate to. And again, that therapy where you can relax at home in the comfort of your own home and see a fantastic show with fantastic Barbadian talent. And I want to use this opportunity to appeal to the business community to get on board. We've been sending out letters after letters after letters asking for assistance and being able to do more. A lot of it that we've done so far has been in music, but we want to do things for theater. We want to do things for spoken word. We want to do things for dance. We just want to be able to give the Barbadian public that opportunity was there in these times to enjoy the arts and to stimulate their thoughts. Because the other thing about it is that when you got kids at home and you got family time and you all can sit down in front of the television and watch art or whatever, you don't know, you might be in your house, that might be the next Gabby, that might be the next Simon Foster, that might be the next Rihanna, you know what I mean? It might very well, you know, be the next John King, who knows? You know, but when people can see these things and be inspired by them, I think that in itself is therapeutic.
Mm-hmm, indeed. All right. Well, we're nearing that time, but before we go any further, I know we have Sergeant Seabert Johnson on the line once again. So thanks for holding, Sarge. Thank you for your traffic beaters again. Okay. At least he was there. I think he lost a good sergeant. Let's see if we could take a call or two. Fireworks, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Cassie.
Hi, how are you doing, man?
Pretty well. Let me say a very pleasant good evening to the minister.
Thank you, sir. Mark, how are you?
I'm good. I got two points there that a lot of the entertainers in the world seem not to relate to. And I want to ask you how soon you're going to get to develop them. The cultural industry is connected to the WTO, right?
Yes.
which means that is a passageway where for the entertainers of Barbados to travel not only the Caribbean, but be exposed to other international countries. That's
mm-hmm.
one.
With the music, yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's one. Two, what work the attaches within the commission, the high commissions, and right. the... because I'm of the opinion that's the role, a role where the High Commissions, the attaches. I know that you said that one so far, that is Mr. Phil?
Yes.
But we are making inroads that I think we need to let the entertainers of Barbados know that.
Yes.
For example, the WTO is an impetus for Barbados entertainers. And also the concept that we have got people working within the High Commission office that are sent with portfolios to carry out the duties. Now, Mr. Minister, I have watched the African channel every day.
Mm-hmm.
Every day. The African channel now presents an American and English. It gives you African in dress and in culture,
mm-hmm.
but in terms of fashion, I think that they're by far proceeding over the United States. The artists they're concentrating on is young artists. I saw even Trinidad artists was exposed on the channel sometime last week.
Mm-hmm.
If we can expose the Barbadian artists on that level, then the export is there. Good. Finally, I have been watching Sunday nights. Can I make a comment?
Yes, please.
I think, number one, the photography is not as good as it should. Number two, the lighting is not as good as it should. And if we're projecting for the outside market with this type of material that you all are putting on Sunday nights, I think we've got to take the videographer. Videography has got to be extremely well. The lighting has got to be extremely well. And I believe you can improve on the sound. But apart from that, the talent produced is top quality talent.
Well, I thank you very much, Mark. Let me just first build on your initial point. This is the first time in the history of Barbados that I know of, and I speak subject to correction, that you've had a cultural and commercial attaché in the Foreign Service. With, as Mark said, with specifically for those two areas of endeavor. This shows, to my mind, forward thinking in that people begin to realize the power and the potential of what we call the creative economy. And Phil Phillips is that attaché. He goes off to Ghana very soon, I'm told. And he's the one who actually is going to be, who has been doing the work, tremendous work, for a number of months now, in being able to forge the kind of links that we need to our, to get our artistic community and our creative community access to a 1.6 billion people marketplace. You know what I mean? You're talking about Ghana, you're talking about 30 million people. And this is not just for the creatives, this is for business on the whole, any type of business that you can think of. These are the type of things that, unfortunately, it took this time and to actually get to. For a long time, people viewed the continent as being, as they would say, poor. All the images that people see of, you know, war and all of these type of things. But now that people are a little bit more enlightened and people understand the economic might of the continent itself, and we being descendants of that and part and parcel of that continent, they themselves also view us as, if you want to say it, the third sector, so to speak, of the continent, the diaspora. And so the opportunities that are presented there for us as people of African descent are enormous, and we have to take advantage of these things with our music, with our businesses, with whatever, with it, transfer of knowledge, even in terms of what you do here in the things, your DJing and all the other things. These are things that we do well and that we can export to other parts of the world. But I think the African continent really presents us with unlimited potential to get, because we're on 166 square miles. Let's not fool ourselves. It's a very small place.
Small place,
yeah. And so you have to encourage, especially our young people, to be bold enough to step out and to look for those markets and create their own brands and their other things in other places where they can really excel. And I think this is exciting times for the arts. It's just a matter of, again, like most of the things, who is going to grab the opportunities that are presented?
Well, I can be honest with you, Mr. Minister, I can be honest with you. The opportunities that the Barbadian entertainers have in the year 2021 excel what was available in 2017, 2016.
Of course.
Now, what is important here is that very few of the Barbadian entertainers understand the importance of professionalism. And I say this without no apology, because if you have to move to the foreign market, you have to move to the foreign market with a percentage of professionalism involved. Now, the WTO, that is a passport for Barbadian entertainment, cultural industry. That is a passport, and that was that treaty was signed, I think, almost 2-3 years ago, 4 years ago, under the leadership of the former prime minister.
All right.
I am asking you, as Minister, Mr. King, to proceed along the upward mobility, WTO, and work with those attaches, and try to get organizers there in Barbados to understand that the outside world only looking for professionalism, not amateurs.
But we've started the process, Mark, and it starts with getting the cultural attaché sorted.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, thanks.
Thank you.
Thanks a lot for calling, Mark.
God bless you.
Listen, I said I know we ain't had enough time. You know.
I'll come back.
My man, don't make this so a promise.
I promise. this is a promise that I promise.
Yeah.
I will come back.
All right.
Because I really like to talk to talk to the general public about these type of issues, which are important. I mean, one of the things that's really, 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 really passionate and really important to me is that parents support their children when they want to go into the arts. You know, it's too many times that I've seen parents look at children and tell them, oh, we're going to do it our music, or we're going to do it our sports, or we're going to do it this thing, and we're going to do it thing. The world around us has changed, and people are always looking for sports persons. They're looking for innovators, you know, young people who you might see them on an app all the time doing whatever it is, but they may be the ones who actually come up with new apps and create things. And so you have to be able to appreciate the creative minds and begin to support them, because they are the ones who 99.9% of the time they're in the background, but creating the solutions that give us the chance to enjoy life at the standard that we're enjoying it at.
Absolutely. And with those words, unfortunately,
yep,
we gotta go. But he promised that he will be back, and not just me, but the thousands that are listening.
I promise them.
You promise them as well. All right. Well, thank you very much.
But thank you very much for having me. And let me just say to everybody out there, have a great evening. And just remember, at the end of the day, whatever happens, this is our country, Barbados, and we got to support the artists and support the arts.
Absolutely. Oh, and the thing I meant to say, about 30 years ago, I was a fan until you sang that song by Alison Hines. And broke my heart.
Well, not only you.
Broke my heart.
Not only you. If it may be, just before I go quickly, I remember a couple of years after going to St. Lucia to do a show, right? And I was on radio doing an interview just like this. And this woman called in and started off on me. You, John King, what it is you go on and do to Allison? I see you get married and you left the girl. I was like, no. I was like, no. That was just that. You know, so I'll tell you, people loved it, and I really appreciate it, man.
It's okay. We appreciate this song. Joking. That was Fireworks, of course, brought to you with the kind compliments of West Indian Waterproofing. Remember, waterproofing means us. Give us a call today. 2714933, Rotoplastics Barbados Limited, manufacturers of the Tough Tank Water Storage Tank, and your tank installation and maintenance specialists, also distributors of the Pentax Water Pump. That's it for us for today. Once again, big thanks to the minister, of course, as minister within the Prime Minister's office with responsibility for culture, John King.